Well, then I will call the meeting to order at 9:02 on August 17th, 2017, and this is the monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners. Since we're doing it this way, Jeff, we're starting with introductions. Is it better if you just kind of take charge of that, or?
Yeah, we can do roll call and go from there. So.
Yeah, let's try that.
Okay, thank you.
Board Chair Kagan.
I here present.
Vice President Crawford is absent. Dr. Easley, absent. Board Member Brimhall.
Present.
Board Member Cota.
Present.
Board Member Love.
Present.
Roll call is complete.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum. We can proceed from here. We go to item number 3 on the agenda, please.
Yeah, so I'm having trouble pulling up the agenda. Would you mind calling agenda item?
Sure. So item number 3 on our agenda is declaration of conflict of interest. If anybody has a conflict of interest that they want to declare, it's also a good time to let us know of any recusals you may have on any of these cases.
I've got nothing.
Can you hear me?
Anyone board members? No, I think
nothing.
Okay, so I think we're good to proceed.
Item number 4 on the agenda is approval of draft minutes from the June 29th meeting.
Okay, so if we can get a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll give a motion to approve the minutes from June 29th, 2020.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for approval of the minutes. Can we do an all in favor vote even though we're on the phone?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah. Okay, so all in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, so that motion passed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item on the agenda is number 5. This is initial review, consideration, and possible action on investigations and allegations of non-professional conduct. I'll just generally frame this review for the board and the audience. This is many times the first time that we see allegations in a case. Customarily, we give, if the respondent, the respiratory therapist is here, we'll give them 5 minutes to give their side of the story to the board, and then the board will deliberate, decide whether or not to dismiss, issue a letter of concern, or send it along in the review process for further review. The other items you can vote on to move forward are an investigative interview or a formal hearing. So we have 6 of those items under item 5. The first one on the agenda is for Nathan Cosa, case number 2023-RCE-005. And if it pleases the board, I can give a short summary of this particular allegation.
I'm assuming he's not present in the boardroom?
Correct. And Madam Chair, I did supplement the materials with another response from him. He has 2 cases on today's meeting. He is out of state, and he explained those reasons why. If you have materials, I can find a page number. Basically, he said he was out of state, he would not be able to attend a meeting, and he provided a similar response that he had already done previously.
Okay. So, yeah, if you
want to
summarize, that would be great.
This is case number 2023-RCE-0005. This respiratory therapist has been licensed with us since 2006. License is currently active and set to expire on August 14th of 2024. Last employment recorded was Phoenix Children's Hospital. We do not have a complaint history, and there's no public criminal record history that I found. This particular case came in from a staff member from PCH, basically said that the RCP codes allegedly encourage and create a hostile work environment at PCH. The case description goes on to delineate those things that they felt that RCP COSA had done at PCH, and they're voluminous. There are, it's everything from unprofessional conduct to allegations that his decisions affected patient care, age and gender discrimination, and it goes on and on. He did respond to the complaint within the appropriate time frame and replied. In short, I will summarize it as a lot of these things are an employment issue. I did not see any specific allegations that directly affected patient care. And all those, page 13, page 10 through 13 of your materials delineate all the things that have been alleged and his response to those allegations. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions from the board.
Okay. Board members? You got board members?
This kind of is Jim Love. This kind of sounded to me like more of an HR issue than a respiratory board issue.
This is Board Member Brumhall, and I agree with Board Member Love. I mean, there was no HR issues that were also furnished, or, you know, they would have, PHC would have submitted something to us, but I think since they had maybe some disgruntled employees. So I'm going to do a motion that we dismiss this case.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any further discussion? All in favor of dismissal of the case, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The second item is 5-2. This case is case number 2023 RCE 0040. Respiratory therapist is Amy Schrader. Would you like to come up and join us up here, please? And do you mind if I, preliminary matter, is your last name Burke or is it Schrader?
My last name is Burke.
Okay.
I've tried to get it changed.
Okay.
With you guys a couple times, but it keeps reverting back to my main name.
We'll make sure we follow up on that.
Thank you.
Members of the board, RCP Schrader Burke is available and here and present. This case involves a self-reported arrest that had occurred on around April 4th of 2023. We did receive that mandatory report within the 10 days as mandated. It involves a car accident and subsequent arrest for possible DUI after that. The respondent did reply to the investigation within the appropriate time frame, goes into detail of what happened on April 3rd, April 4th, goes into details of injuries that respiratory therapist suffered during that crash, and I don't have anything further at this time. I do not believe the, I'm not sure of the status in the court.
It's still, it's ongoing. We haven't had trial yet.
Got it. Okay. And I don't believe you've had any history with this board with DUIs or anything like that. Is that correct? So this is a, these were, there were three counts in a criminal matter, DUI in the first, and an ancillary one for speeding greater than reasonable and prudent. So if you would like to give the board a quick summary of your side of the story, that'd be great.
Okay, yeah. I was on that night, I was driving really late at night. There was no lighting. A road closure sign had been moved. I got in an accident because I subsequently drove into an unmarked construction zone. I was in an accident. I called 911 for medical help. An officer came out and asked me where I'd been coming from. I said I was coming home from the bar. I'd had one drink, and I was unable to blow in the breathalyzer due to the condition of my injuries. And subsequently arrested for suspicion of DUI. Currently under litigation, trying to get those charges dropped.
Okay. First of all, thank you for being here today. Is this, and maybe you said already, and I missed it, is this the first time something like this has happened?
Absolutely. The whole event was very circumstantial. It was the day after my grandparents' joint funeral. My friend said, let's go get a drink to calm you down. I don't drink regularly, and I've been sober since the accident.
Okay, thank you. Board members, yes, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Just a quick preliminary question. This was a law enforcement complaint, so they gave the citation after the fact?
Yes.
And I saw, which normally, there's a couple reasons for, but it was also look like the complaint was amended on May 15th by the court. Can you explain the amendment or?
I think they didn't actually formally charge me until that date.
Okay, got it. So those three, do you know if it's specifically liquor, drugs, or vapors?
Alcohol.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have anything further. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Board member? Kim, Becky, Jim?
You know, normally we just leave this up to the courts and have them do what they've got to do. What's everybody else's thoughts on that?
That is typically what we do for a first offense, yeah. We kind of let the court take over and guide the way.
So I agree for a dismissal with the understanding that we're leaving it up to the courts to take care of the problem.
Okay. So was that a motion, Jim?
That we dismiss it with the understanding that we're leaving it up to the courts to take care of the of any disciplinary problems.
Okay. So we have a motion for dismiss. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any additional conversation, board members? All in favor of dismissal of this case, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Not
good. Hopefully we won't see you again.
Oh, you won't.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, because we are on the teleconference, I would like to do a roll call if we have future dismissals, if that's okay with you.
Okay, absolutely.
Thank you.
Should we go back to the other one and do a roll call then?
I don't think it's necessary. It was very clear. I just want to make sure that we have that in the records and delineate who's voting for what. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board, the next case under item 5 is number 3, Sean Nelson. Sean Nelson here. Would you like to come up? Respiratory therapist is present today. This is case number 2023 RCD 0041. Thank you for joining us today. RCP Nelson holds license number 8827, has been licensed with us since June 15th of 2006, currently has an active license that's set to expire May 28th of 2024. Last reported employer that we have is Abraza West Campus. We do not have a complaint history, and the only thing in the public access criminal record search was the current matter that we're discussing today. RCP Nelson self-reported an arrest that occurred on around April 31st of 2023. The report was received by the board within the appropriate time frame mandated in statute. The arrest involves a domestic violence situation that had occurred around April 31st. Or I'm sorry, the charges on April 31st. The last update that we had from the respiratory therapist was that the first court date was in May of 2023. She does have legal counsel representing her in this matter. And I don't have any further updates and no further summary unless the board has any questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you.
We'll give you 5 minutes to kind of let us know anything and everything you want us to know, and then after that, the board will have conversation amongst themselves.
Okay. So I was arrested for domestic violence, and I pled self-defense, obtained a lawyer. Actually, on the 28th of this month, I am going to accept the plea. I've never been in trouble before, and the plea is very good. My lawyer feels they don't have a case. The other party has called and said that he is not claiming any type of restitution and no damages, and basically that he was at fault. And I thought the case would be dismissed, but they offered me a very good plea. I chose to take it and not continue fighting because the end result is the same. If I take the plea, complete 11 classes, pay a $250 fine, it will stay dismissed on my record. If I go to court and they dismiss it, then it still says dismissed. So I've chosen to no longer fight, save my money, and either way, in the end, it'll stay dismissed.
Thank you.
What kind of classes would you be?
It would be 11 domestic violence classes.
Thank you for that.
11 what? I didn't hear that.
Domestic violence classes.
Okay, thank you.
So he had grabbed me by the throat. I had some pictures. We were sitting on the couch. Some pictures came across his phone of boobs. I grabbed the phone. He grabbed me by the throat. I defended myself. I was actually arrested because they felt because I grabbed the phone, I was the aggressor. So.
Okay.
Not an easy situation, and thank you for the mandatory report and being here today.
Yes, definitely. Board member, you're on mute, Becky.
I'm sorry. So if she gets charged with this domestic violence, but it sounds like she's going to do, will it affect her fingerprinting in any way?
I would
licensure.
Madam Chair, board members, it's not going to. We, the respiratory board, don't have a mandate for the fingerprint clearance card. However, her employer may be, and she may or may not have already handled that if she has a fingerprint clearance card and got an exception.
My boss knows everything that's been going on, and she has mentioned nothing about it.
And the fingerprint board is a separate board, and they will go through their process. I'm sorry, this is Beth. I don't think you guys can see me. The fingerprint board will go through their process like this board goes through its process.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any motions or thoughts, board members?
I'll give a motion that we dismiss because I think that she has it handled through her attorney and the other court. I was only concerned about the fingerprints because that's something that we have to ask for our board. But that's my motion to dismiss.
Okay, so we have a motion for dismissal. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? Any further discussion?
I just have a question.
Again. Yeah, go ahead.
My question for the board is when I renew my license and it asks me if I have been arrested for any, I don't know what to mark down in the future.
You answer honestly and correctly. So on your application, if it's within that 2 years, your upcoming renewal, you would say yes. You would say previously reported to the board and done deal.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jack, we'll do a roll call vote, and the vote is for dismissal of this case.
Board Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Board Member Cota? Vice President Kagan?
Aye.
And Board Member Love?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you for being here, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, next item is number 5-4, Andrea Stott. Is Andrea Stott available? This is case number 2023-RCE-0042. RCP Stott here. Madam Chair, members of the board, I don't believe RCP Stott is in attendance. RCP Stott holds license number 10026. That was originally issued June 16th of 2011 and is currently set to expire on September 10th of 2024. Last reported employer that we have is Diamondback Health. Do not have a complaint history, and I did not find any public criminal background information when I searched. RCP Stott was terminated from employment because she allowed her license to lapse and may have worked without the benefit of holding an active license practicing the profession of respiratory care. This case was referred to the board by the regional manager, Deborah Griffith, on or around April 7th of 2023, and basically stated during a routine audit of clinical staff's license statuses, it was found that Ms. Stott was an unlicensed person who represented herself as an Arizona respiratory care practitioner. On discovery, Ms. Stott was immediately suspended, and then she was subsequently terminated from employment. I don't have anything further unless the board has any questions.
Okay. Were there any questions or thoughts on the situation?
Well, this is kind of scary that she worked for such a long time. I mean, since September 10th, 2022, all the way to April. Mm-hmm. And then who was doing the audit?
Right.
And she's not here to really ask any questions of what's going on, so that's a little concerning to me.
Have we got any response from her? I don't see where we've got a response from her.
We have not.
I'm going to vote a motion that we move this up to
an informal interview.
A formal hearing, yeah.
To an informal interview or
informal?
Informal. Okay. Okay, so we have a motion to go to an informal interview. Do we have a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, so a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Board Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Board Member Love?
Aye.
Board Chair President Kagan?
Aye.
Board Member Cota? Board Member Cota?
I think I heard.
Aye. There we go.
Motion passes. Okay.
Okay, motion passes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, next case number item 5, subsection 5, Carolyn Lee Vale. Case number 2023-RCE-0043. RCP Lee Vale holds license number 5439. That was originally issued March 22nd of 2007. Currently active and is set to expire March 22nd, 2025. Last reported employer that we have, St. Joe's Medical Center. I do not have any complaint history, and there was no PACER information. This was a self-report from, are you here? Sorry, I apologize. I got ahead of myself there. Thank you for joining us today. We do have We're getting a lot of feedback on the line. I don't know, it sounds like tearing paper or something. So if you can mute when you're not speaking, that would be great. Thank you. We have R.T. Lee Vail here to respond to the board. This was a self-report for administering a medication, albumin. I don't know if I pronounced that right. That may have been out of the scope of practice. She reported that during the code, I was assisting a fellow ECMO specialist. I administered albumin through the ECMO pump to assist with fluid resuscitation. I believe that is under the guidance of a physician who I had asked. For whatever reason, the employer, supervisor, considered that out of scope. And I don't. Are you still working for them, or what happened with the?
Yes, I am still working, but not with St. Joe's. I decided to leave, so I am working in another facility.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So the self-report was within a reasonable time frame. May not technically adhere to the R statute, but I wouldn't call that an allegation. And she's told us what's happened with that situation. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions, but I think the board might appreciate you giving the board the situation,
yes,
you know, in the moment kind of a thing, so yes, they get an assessment of what was going on.
I came into a help out that day, so it was on April 1st. We had another patient that was coming in, which I was going to take that patient, and while I was waiting, my fellow RT had another patient that was on ECMO that was not doing very well. She stepped out of the room to run an ABG. The nurse came and got me and said that the patient doesn't really have blood pressure anymore, so everybody responded to the code. So I went in there, and the ECMO physician was at the bedside. He's a heart failure physician also, and his nurse practitioner was also there. So they did everything that they could to give volume back to the patient to increase the blood pressure. So as we're doing it, he asked if what else we could do, and I did suggest that we do give albumin and blood products through the ECMO pump. And he said, are you able to give that? And I said, yes, as long as under your direction. I even asked him twice. Are you sure you want me to use? Yeah, it was, yeah, go ahead. And he stood there the whole time. And we gave 500. And then I asked again. And I said, we gave 500. Do you want another one? He said, yes. So I did. But we've done that before in the past. But with underneath the new director there for the ECMO program, he's revising everything. So in light of that, so they assume that that's no longer going to be underneath our practices anymore. So, I mean, it is what it is. So I've done it before, so it was just really surprising. So, so that's what happened. So
just a quick follow-up question. The board may have questions. So a physician who is in charge of this patient,
yes,
gave you not one but two verbal orders?
Yes, two.
Okay. And do you have policy and protocol in that health care institution that states otherwise?
Yes. The policy, no. Like I said, they're revising everything underneath the new director, and that's one of the policies that they were addressing. So, but due to COVID, with everything that has happened, a lot of our training and water labs were like suspended for a while. So they're, now that the new ECMO physician they acquired a new position or director, and he's kind of going in a different direction. So,
how did this escalate? Was there, what was the patient outcome? Was there a problem with
the
administration?
After this resuscitation, the patient did, I mean, eventually expire like 3 hours later.
Okay. So that's how it kind of escalated?
I don't know, because I was still working, and then 12 days later after the incident, they called me and told me that they wanted to talk. And I did explain to them what happened. And I did explain to them, like, we've done this in the past. I just didn't know why it was such a huge issue, because we've done it in the past, even with a perfusionist there. We usually always assist as an ECMO specialist, and I've been an ECMO specialist since 2012, so we've done this in the past. We even give blood through the pump for our neonatal ECMOs patients, so I was just a little bit surprised that this actually escalated to where it needed to be, so.
Thank you.
And were you terminated because of this?
Yeah, they gave me the option to, so I had to leave, so it was just not something that I'd been doing for so long that I just kind of more felt like, I don't know, I still have mixed feelings about the whole situation, so.
Okay. I think my concern lies in where the policy would be, where the policy would be as far as scope of practice goes, because if I'm given a direct order from a physician to, and I'm just, you know, throwing this out there, to give an antibiotic, that's not within my scope of practice to give. Perhaps as an ECMO specialist, albumin is within the scope of practice, but I don't know that it's within the scope of practice of a respiratory therapist. That's where my concern is. Board members, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to, in light that they're changing the policy and stuff, and I would caution this therapist to understand the scope of practice of medications just as you would in a COVID situation or whatever. But I would recommend a letter of concern at this time. And the reason I'm doing that is because of the self-reporting. And the therapist trying to have a clear understanding of what was wrong with the situation. So I'm recommending, I'm going to make a motion for a letter of concern.
And, Jim, when we issue a letter of concern, we need to complete the statement. The board is concerned that, what is your concern?
My concern is that the therapist is not clearly understanding what the scope of practice is when it comes to pharmacology medications, you know?
Okay. Yeah,
you got that. If you have a verbal order from a physician to give a medication, you're still not allowed to give it because of your scope of practice. Because you have not had any formal training to give any of those medications. And by that, I mean, did you go to school and learn to give those medications? Did they offer a special class that was approved by your medical director? So forth and so on. So I just want to make it clear that they understand from now on to stay within your limits of the scope of practice of medications.
Okay, Jack, you have what you need for the letter of concern?
I've got something. Let's see which way this motion and second
okay.
vote goes, and then we'll go from there.
We have a motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
And
do we have a second?
And board members, this is Beth. Just I want to make sure I'm clarifying. So because RCP Leevale was an ECMO certified specialist. So she had training as an ECMO certified specialist. But I think, so the way I'm understanding it is because she was employed as an RT, she failed to verify the facility's policy on RT scope. Is that what the concern is?
That's true.
Okay.
There are standing orders for to give 500 albumin in our ECMO specialist orders. We do have it. I did try to fight that. So, but like I said, we have a new director. So we do have standing orders to give normal saline or albumin blood products and normal saline. Like we've done it in the past, as long as the physician has asked you, we've done it. The same thing as in neonates, we give blood, but we don't prime anything. The nurses usually just hand us a tubing and we just apply it to the circuit.
And is that how the albumin was given or no? Did you push it?
The nurse practitioner was pulling the drug and was handing me the syringe and I was just pushing it through the pump.
Okay.
Yeah, the nurse practitioner for the cardiovascular surgeon. So.
Okay.
They're handed because she's not allowed to touch the pump, so she's giving me the syringe, and I was just pushing the albumin. I even asked twice to the ECMO physician if that's what he wanted me to do. He said yes.
So did he
Madam say, Chair? Okay.
Yes.
So let me understand. She did not draw up the albumin.
I did not.
Correct. He did not draw the albumin.
Yes, I didn't give it directly to the patient.
Okay, then I'll withdraw my motion. And I'll make a new motion to dismiss.
Okay, so now we've got a motion on the table for dismissal of this case. Do we have any questions now? Okay, so we have a second to that. Thank you, Becky.
She also stated that she had training in these things, and you know, she's the one that reported it, and who knows if her current job would have been known if she didn't. But so honest and transparent.
Right, and because she's an ECMO specialist, she would have had training in all the intricacies of ECMO, including the pharmacology side of things.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for dismissal. Do we have any further discussion? Jim, were you going to say something?
I was going to ask one question. So you said that your new director has drawn up these new policies so that you would be covered doing these kind of things under policy. Is that true?
Well, it's something that they have been addressing. So because of our ECMO policy, it has to be renewed, has to be revised. And now that they're opening a new cardiothoracic ICU specialty unit by separating from the lung transplant team, they wanted to go in a different directions with different guidelines. So they actually wanted to separate the ECMO program between the lung transplant team and the cardiothoracic because they were not seeing eye to eye. So that's exactly, I was just kind of like in the middle of all that, so.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, so we still have a motion and a second on the table. Any other discussion, board members? Okay, roll call vote, please. And we are voting on dismissal.
Board member Love.
Aye.
Board member Brimhall.
Aye.
Board Chair President Kagan.
Aye.
Board member Cota.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2023 RCE 0043. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one.
Yeah, I've got a quick question. Our agenda don't have RPC, Deborah Gonzalo, 203-RC-006. I don't have it on my agenda unless if we posted it early, a little later, still be open meeting law.
I don't have it
either. Nathan and Jeff are my next one on my agenda.
Are you talking about the agenda that was sent out with the first email?
Oh, maybe. Okay.
It wasn't the final agenda. But I did add her. She was added. Does have the appropriate 24-hour notice. But you have it available in your board materials, yes?
Yes. Okay. I do.
Thank you. Good question.
Sorry.
I'm having trouble with my materials here. Bear with me here a second. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2023-RCE-0044 concerning RT Nathan Cosa. RCP Cosa holds license number 007076. That was originally issued in June of 2006 and is set to expire in August 14th of 2024. This is the second complaint we're looking at today on basically the same issue at PCH. He does not have complaint history, and I did not find any criminal record information when searched. Basically, the allegations in this one is that RCP COSA allegedly harassed and bullied staff over a period of time. He was a director of respiratory care service at PCH. And to quote the complaint, Nate has harassed, bullied, excluded, targeted, and manipulated staff in our department. It's called stress and anxiety among staff. And it goes on to reiterate those types of problems. The complaint also stated we have lost over 30 phenomenal and tenured staff in the last year due to his management of the department. This particular complaint states that they've been in this department for over 20 years and have watched it be torn apart. RCP COSA did respond to the complaint within the appropriate time frame, and basically states he's been a director there for about 2 years. And there seems to be HR is dealing with four individuals as well as COSA in the form of a grievance. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions from the board.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
Well, once again, it's just like the first complaint that we heard. I believe it's more of an HR issue than it is a board issue.
Okay. Anyone else have thoughts?
I'll do a motion that we dismiss to the fact that we don't have any cause or respiratory skill set. This is more of an HR issue within the workplace.
Okay, so we've got a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Oh, yeah, 2 seconds. Excellent.
All right.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote for dismissal.
Board Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Board Member Love?
Aye.
President Chair Kagan?
Aye.
And Board Member Coda?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the next thing that I have on the agenda is item 6. Consideration, discussion, and possible action on informal interviews. Agendized is Deborah Gutierrez, case number 2023-RCE-006. Is RCP Gutierrez here today? Would you like to come up? Chair, members of the board, respiratory RCP Gutierrez is available here at the board meeting. Thank you for joining us today. This RCP Gutierrez holds license number 10397. That was originally issued September 9th, 2007, and expires September 9th of 2023. The last reported employer that I have is Valley Medical Center. We do have a complaint history on file, and it does appear that there may have been some criminal issues in the past. RCP Gutierrez self-reported a misdemeanor DUI. This DUI occurred on or around February 2nd, 2023. In her response, or in her self-report, she states that she regrets that she has committed such a crime and maintain my respiratory license as my highest priority at this time. And I don't have anything future. When I was looking at this particular matter, I'm going to have RCP Gutierrez explain some of the background, but it looks like that you previously held a license in California.
Yes.
You may have been disciplined.
No.
Disciplinary action in California?
No. I surrendered it. Unfortunately, with that, it was reported to the NBRC, and they didn't know that I was credentialed here in Arizona. So, in 21, we had to go back to the NBRC to try to, you know, I sent them all the documentation showing that they had no clue I was credentialed in Arizona. So I sent everything, and then they reinstated the credentials.
Got it. You surrendered, meaning you let it go?
Yeah, because I had been out in Arizona for so long, and I had no plans to go back to California, so that's why I surrendered it.
Got it. And then also, when I said some prior stuff, looks like in 2015 you had a brush with a DUI?
Yeah, and other stuff.
Okay. And I think you may have reported that to the board at that time?
Yes.
Great. Okay. If you want to maybe give the board a quick summary of what's going on with this one, where you're at in the process, what the future holds.
Well, I made a mistake. Well, I did a bad thing. My anxieties get the best of me, so I'm not really good emotional-wise. So the whole day was good. I've been trying to get help for my depression and anxiety, and I was happy that day because I found a counselor that would help me. Unfortunately, I got bad news later that afternoon, and of course, me not handling the situation right, I decided to drink. And the worst thing is, I decided to go out because I had a pet at a veterinary service. And instead of letting my partner go get him, I thought I was perfectly fine. I'll just go get him because he worked all day. I didn't. And that's where I messed up.
Is the criminal case completed?
It is.
What was the outcome of that?
I had to do the classes, the DUI. I've done 36 hours of classes, DUI treatment. And then I have to use that in Toxilog. So I have that right now. But I can see about getting it out in 6 months. But in April, which is why I didn't attend the meeting when I was invited then, was because that was the actual date that I had my sentencing hearing.
Got it. So was this considered a first DUI by this court?
I think it's considered a second. I'm not sure.
That's why they have the breathalyzer, the Toxilog, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't have one on the first incident.
So that was going to be my question. Is this a second DUI? It sounds like the answer to that is yes. When was the last time you had a drink?
February 2nd. I'm under medical care and treatment. I still see the behavioral therapist. The medication's working great for me. The anxieties are less. I can go to work without any stress now. You know, I don't want to blame her COVID, but she said COVID just missed. That's when I started drinking, really. I see a lot of people die.
And do you attend AA meetings by any chance?
I'm sorry?
Do you attend AA meetings?
No. No, I go, like I said, they've medicated me for the stress and anxiety, and then there's another medication they gave me to to avoid the craving for alcohol. Plus, I try to avoid.
Are you drug tested? Are you drug tested at all?
I was before, but not now.
When's the last drug test that you took that was negative?
That was years ago, like 8 years ago. February 2nd was the incident where I had to do the blowing and all that. That was the last time that I drank. And then a week later is when I finally got to see the counselor, and so they worked with me and my physician to get me the help that I need. Plus, there was requirements of MVD that I had to do.
Board, this is Beth Campbell. I know this is an informal interview. The board also, but this is also the first time that Ms. Gutierrez has appeared in front of the board. The board does have the option of continuing this informal interview and ordering Ms. Gutierrez to participate, issuing an interim order for a psychological evaluation to include a substance use disorder evaluation. And the board would then have the benefit of that report when it was making a determination as to what would be appropriate in this case.
Okay, thank you. You know, my initial thoughts are this is something that I feel like we need to keep tabs on in order for this RCP to continue to be successful. I don't feel like this is a one-and-done situation with us. I think we need to be able to keep tabs so we can ensure she's on the right track. Any other thoughts, board member?
I agree with that.
Well, I think if we get the recommendation of Beth to go to an informal and have her have a medical report to give to us, I think then we would have a little bit more oversight. And just for her to come from Kingman today shows a lot that she's taking responsibility and taking this seriously, but we're still 6 months in still to this situation.
Right, and I absolutely appreciate the fact that you came and that you're here today and that you're taking your license very seriously. But I do think we need to kind of, our job is to protect the safety of the public. And so I think, I like the idea of getting what Beth said so we can make a better decision. Does anyone have a motion?
So board members, this is Beth. If this is the way the board is inclined, I would suggest a motion to continue the informal interview and issue an interim order for a psychological evaluation by a board-approved evaluator to include a substance abuse or a substance use disorder evaluation.
Okay, we've got that motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Board Member Love?
Aye.
Board Member Cota?
Aye.
Board Chair Kagan?
Aye.
Board Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll be sending that out to you to get that paperwork in a couple of days. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, I think that concludes what I would call the regulatory portion of the meeting. I have several things for the executive director report. Or you can do the call to public now, Madam Chair. It's at your pleasure.
Sure. What is call to public? Call to public is when anyone from the audience would have 5 minutes to address the board, keeping in mind that we can't have any discussion about it because it's not been put on the agenda. But if there's anything you'd like to say to address the board, now is your time.
Anybody?
Doesn't look like anyone's raising their hand or getting up.
Good comment. Everybody's here for continuing education.
They got lucky today, then.
Yeah, well, no, we're going to keep them here to at least 4 o'clock. So, thank you, Madam Chair. Executive Director report, I'm just going to run through this, and then I have at least one vote on budget that I would like you to make. Licensing statistics. Let me give you, right now we have 4,167 licensed RTs in Arizona. That's up a small percentage from what I'm used to. I think we have a lot of applications. I think the industry's increasing. I think we have a lot of out-of-state applicants, a lot of travelers that are still, a lot of travel agencies that are still doing placements in Arizona. I think that's what that increase is from. We have, since April 1st of 2023, we've issued 152 new licenses. We have a total of 234 pending applications currently on file. Those applications, those 234 were everything after December now. So we're up to December when people filed applications that are still pending. Overall, I am adequately comfortable that we're getting licenses turned around in a timely fashion right now. We're still dealing with folks from late last year that have or have not submitted everything. So we're taking it on a case-by-case basis. During that, and also since April 1st, we've administratively closed 233 applications. Administratively closed means that they filed an application with us, but they haven't sent us all the documentation that's required. Fingerprints, out-of-state license verifications. Those are the two things that seem to be the most prevalent when people are having their applications closed. I don't have any other comments on statistics unless you have questions. Hearing none.
No questions for me. Thank you.
Financial report. I think Vice Chairman Crawford wanted this update or specifically asked for it. We still have an outstanding amount due from fiscal year 2022 in the tune of $18,000.
I don't have my figures in front of me, but that's a ballpark figure yet.
So we still have a couple unpaid bills from fiscal year 2022 that we were working on. And hopefully we'll get some money back from the Fentia contractor to cover that.
Yes.
But it's not yet finalized. Mm. As far as the appropriation for the current fiscal year, we were way under budget. I think we had $40,000?
Yes.
About $40,000 in appropriate money that we did not spend. And that's basically due to the staffing issues that you're aware of. This current fiscal year, our total appropriation, the money that we have to run the board, is $421,000. That's personal services, employee-related expenses, outside professional services, accounting, that sort of thing. Whatever direction the board goes in the future as far as executive staff and that sort of thing, I think you have a good appropriation for this year. That is going to segue into the 2025 budget request. And this is where I would like you to consider a vote and approval. We are submitting the 2025 budget request is due by September 1st. I would like to increase the overall appropriation for your agency by 20%. And the reason for that is we haven't had a significant increase for personal services or anything like that. If you are to keep and retain staff in the future, you're going to have to increase your personal services and be able to pay them a little more than what we have in the past. So you have the cash balance, you have the funds, the reserves. It's not going to affect anything like that. I think our reserves were at 300, 300 million,
over, Anita. Over 300.
We have over $300,000 of cash sitting there that is unspent. So your total appropriation is 421 a year. So you have a 75% reserve. And with the numbers increasing, it's only going to become healthier, I think. So my suggestion is to approve the budget submittal for 2025 with a 20% increase for the appropriation.
Okay. Can we do a roll call vote for that?
Please.
Before we roll call vote, board members, do you have any questions for Jeff or any discussion about this?
No, I agree with it.
Okay, so let's do a roll call vote, please.
Yeah, we can get a motion in a second, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll do a motion to do the increase of the 20% so we can get it filed before September 1st.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. I don't feel like there's any discussion at this point, so we'll roll call vote, please.
Board Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Board Member Cota.
Aye.
Chair President Kagan.
Aye.
Board Member Love.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The next item on the executive director report is ISA and staffing. I'm not sure if you want to do that today. As you know, the Respiratory Care Board entered into an agreement with the Nursing Care Board so that Danita, myself, and other ancillary support can help out the Respiratory Care Board. I don't know what strategic direction you want to take. We signed that ISA for 6 months, April, May, June, July, August. So it's going to be up next month. So if you want to continue as is, I need that strategic direction from the board. If you want to announce an opening and hiring for an executive director, I would appreciate hearing that. We can help you with that. But we need to kind of, you know, as far as the budget and all that stuff getting submitted by September 1st, that's not a problem. But if you want to extend past that, we have to start talking about it. You have to give me some guidance on which direction you want to go. So that's why I put this item on here.
Well, I would like to keep the situation as we have it ongoing until we're caught up, and then we can post for a new director. Because I don't think it would be fair for a new director to come in and have all this backlog still going on. So I don't know, how's everybody else feel? I think we should keep Jack and the person that he has helping him on until the situation is cleared up.
My personal opinion is, if it's not too much for Jack and Danita to be taking this on, I would like to see it continue this way. But I also know it's a lot of work for you too.
Yes.
But I see you smirking, Jack.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to get, so say we get permission to post for the executive director. So we're talking maybe 2-3 months out before a position is in the field. Is that pretty fair to say?
It is, because you're going to have, the board's going to be probably set up a subcommittee like it has in the past. That subcommittee is going to be reviewing resumes, deciding which people to interview. It is a two-month process, absolutely.
When did we initially sign with you, in April?
Yes.
So we have until October for 6 months.
I need more feet and fingers. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
October.
More feet and fingers.
Okay. I'm counting my fingers. Yeah.
I get you. Well, that's what I did too.
what if we tabled this and put it on next month's agenda so we have more board members to take part? So one more month, and then maybe post for the job before the end of the year. Because you guys have done such a great job, and you guys are almost there, but not quite there yet. So we're almost ending December 2022. all of this cleanup, and we have like 243 applicants that are still pending. And to me, I think if that number was lower and these people had, you know, their license and their jobs, I think I'd be a little bit more apprehensive of posting that. But I think, you know, Donita has done such a great job, and Kat too, if I don't want to eliminate her also. But I also know it's a burden. I know holidays coming. I know that there's a lot, but, you know, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, like I said, personally, I'd like to keep it going this way, if it's something that Jack and Danita are willing to continue to take on. But we do have a little bit of time, so I'm not opposed to pushing this to the next month's agenda as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. We'll punt it to next month or the month after. Not a problem. And yeah, we don't, it is a lot of work, but I enjoy being busy, and I know Danita does too.
Oh, yes.
We're not complaining about it too much yet.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is this. Now, this goes back a little ways because we really haven't had a formal board meeting, but we do have an open investigation with the Arizona Ombudsman's Office. I included this in materials. The Ombudsman's Office staff sent this letter that's in your materials to each board member. They were sent to our address, so I may have sent it to you previously by email or something, but if not, the Ombudsman asked me to make sure that everybody got this letter. So this letter was back from May 15th. It is regarding complaints that were filed by two different people, and it goes into the notification of intent under the provisions of the statutes, the operating statutes. The Ombudsman's investigating complaints that the Arizona Respiratory Care Examiner's Board process applications for licensure in an on-time manner that is contrary to law. And it's basically a standard notice, same like we would send out for somebody that we've gotten a complaint on. And to update the board, board leadership, myself, Chairman Kagan, Vice Chair Crawford met with the Ombudsman and her staff, back in late April, early May. I don't have the exact date. And I gave them a summary of what I saw when I walked into the agency as far as numbers and lagging applications, that sort of thing. Since that time, I have not had many updates from the Ombudsman's Office. They have reached out for some inquiries on minutes and some general stuff from the board, but I do not know the results of the investigation. So I wanted to put this on the agenda to make everybody aware of it, that it is currently occurring, and I do not yet know what the result is. When the Ombudsman does an investigation, they can have everything from a recommendation of no findings to you didn't follow your statute or rule to make the legislative changes. So we'll have to wait and see which direction they're going with this with this investigation, what their findings are. Does anybody have any questions on that?
No.
Did I miss anything with the Ombudsman's Office that you can think of? No. Okay. So when we get that result, I will forward it to the board and we'll be aware of it. The last thing I have on my agenda is the conflict of interest disclosure statement. And I will follow up with an email, but I have the policy and the procedure that Dr. Villafranca put in place in the middle of last year, as well as the conflict of interest form. And it includes you too, Jim. If somebody hasn't filled this out, I need it filled out, and you need to affirm whether you have a conflict or don't have a conflict. Permit conflicts are more of the sort that I work for this particular healthcare system, so there could be an inherent conflict there. I I receive payments in my retirement fund from this insurance company, or I've invested in this certain healthcare institution. So the pecuniary part of it, the financial part of it, is something you have to be very cognizant of. So I assume that last year there was a training and explanation of what this conflict of interest needs to do, but I need each board member to fill out this form and send it into the board probably within the next couple weeks, maybe by the end of August, because we need to have these on file. It is something that everybody from the Ombudsman's office to our General's office to the legislature is very interested in right now. This is something that if you're not doing, you will hear about it. So if you could please print out that form, fill it out, send it back in to me, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
And that's all I have on the agenda. We do have, we've already done call to public, but Jim, would you like to make an announcement before we, before, yes?
Do you want me to make it or do you want to make it?
No, I don't want to make it.
I don't want to make it.
This is my last board meeting with you. I have officially resigned the board. The reason why I'm doing this, I have also resigned my position on the Florida School Board, which took me off of the Arizona Interscholastic Association Executive Board. But I'm 78 years old, and as my son put it, Dad, you need to stop running yourself ragged. So I'm trying to do trips, and I'm trying to, at the same time, I want to continue to work at the hospital. But I can't, at 78, he said it's not advisable for me to continue to do all of that. He understands that I do not want to stop working because I do love where I work, who I work with, and I thoroughly enjoy working with my patients. So I'm giving everything else up, and that way I can spend more time at home. And we did a little calculation as we were driving down the highway in France. And it's been 40-some years that I have volunteered in the community. And it's not only volunteering for all these different organizations, but he said, Dad, look at the time, the work. How many of your vacation days have you given up? How many family events have you given up? So it's time you came back and just started enjoying yourself with your family and friends and doing the things that you want to do without running yourself ragged. So, folks, that's what I'm doing. I thoroughly enjoyed working with you on this board. Thank you, Jack, for coming back to help me get off of the board.
it's the least I could do, board member Love.
And if it's a conflict of interest, you still owe me lunch.
I do. You're right, I do.
I'm doing that as a friend, not because you actually owe me anything. And I will be up in Phoenix from time to time, and I'll get a hold of you in advance. So, board members, good luck to you. Find yourself a really good executive director that we can, as respiratory therapists, that we can depend on this time. And finish cleaning this house up, because I'm very proud of our board. So, if anybody's got any questions or comments, I'm done.
No, I'm excited for you. I can absolutely respect that, and I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Jim, you'll easily be met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I don't have anything further. The audience, so we can adjourn. The only thing I ask from folks that are here for continuing education is before you leave the board meeting room, we're just going to take roll call, make sure that you're here. So make sure that you're signed in. Everybody signed in on the continuing education sheet? Yes? Okay. But we're going to double check. Do you want to take roll call quick, Denise?
Sure.
Let's take roll call quick.
Lamont Montgomery.
Present.
Okay. Garen.
Present.
Grayson.
Here.
Saeed.
Here.
Lorena.
Here.
Holly.
Here.
Todd.
Here.
Carlene. Carlin. Last name Laval. Laval. No. Okay. Roberto.
Present.
Roberto Gallego. Okay. Jose. Thank you. Jasmine. Young. Last name Young. Denise. Dennis. I'm sorry. Alexander.
Present.
Deidre.
Present.
David. David Zakala. Not present. Okay. Joe Lambert.
Here.
Thank you. Samantha.
Here.
Alita. Great. Thank you all.
Miss me.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Carrie Simmons.
And you signed in?
Yes.
Let's see.
Probably on the wrong sign-in sheet.
I will come over to you. Oh, Carrie, here you are. I checked your name. So you're good.
Thank
Carrie,
you.
You're good. Thank you. Thank you all for attending today.
All right, Jack, are we ready to adjourn?
Yes, ma'am, unless there's anything else for the good of the order.
No. Board members and everyone in the audience, thank you for being with us here today. And we will adjourn this meeting at 10:18 a.m.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.